Gillingham, a header and in! Across the line! And Gillingham done it!
Hello and welcome to the Jules Fancast. It was a case of the wait for a win going on even longer on Tuesday night after what was an entertaining but ultimately frustrating evening at Priestfield as Jules surrendered a 2-0 advantage to take a share of the spoils against Blackpool. Today I'm joined by James Hawkins and we're going to look back on the Blackpool game and talk about the good, the bad, the ugly of it. And then look a little bit further forward to the weekend's upcoming trip to Birmingham to play Coventry. James, you alright?
Yeah, good mate, good.
Good. Yeah. So let's crack straight into it, last night's game. Obviously before the game, I saw you in the factory in my room before the game, I said to you that I was confident we was going to win yesterday.
Yeah.
And on 40 minutes, I felt very justified to make that prediction. Obviously, it didn't pan out that way, but it was. What did you make of yesterday's game? One, from a result point and a performance point of view, but two, as an entertainment level as well.
For 40 minutes, I think it was the best I've seen us at Priestfield in a long time, even. Including last year, the way we moved the ball, the desire, the work rate, the little interchanges, the creative ideas, getting how many times did Fuller and Hodgson get forward in the first 40 minutes or so? I thought Jakubiak and Hanlon in that first 40 minutes were excellent. Jones looks a class above everybody else. I think from a result point of view, I think the position that we were in, you have to win the game.
Yeah.
Certainly being two goals up, and it's frustrating, really frustrating. An entertainment point of view, it's a fantastic watch, fantastic game. And I don't think I've ever seen us pressure the team at a team so much in the last 15 minutes at home in years.
And years. That then comes as no surprise that the last 10-15 minutes of the game was probably the loudest I'd heard the Rain of Men for a number of months. And that's what we kept saying before the season. That's what it's about. We want to see us on the front foot, putting teams under pressure. And that's what ultimately gets the fans going when we're building momentum. Yeah. And I did see people were knocking the style of play, especially in the second half yesterday. But I mean, in the first half, I thought we played decent football. I thought the first goal especially was a really nice move. And in the second half, obviously towards the end, Mandron does come on and the likelihood is we are going to go a bit more direct. But it was working. It was building pressure. And at that stage of a game, it's about building pressure to try and find that goal.
That irritates me because for God knows how long the two previous managers, I've watched us play dross football at Priestfield. Absolutely dross football, where teams have come to Priestfield and completely dominated us. I couldn't care about our style of play. If we're gonna dominate teams like that at home every single week, bar 5 or 6 minutes, results will come. And style of play and performances aren't going to win you football matches. Results will win you football matches. And if we keep playing like that, we're gonna pull results out. But the problem is people are finding any little thing they can criticise Steve Evanside for at the moment.
Because, admittedly, in the last sort of 20-25 minutes, I think we did look longer a little bit more often. But I don't feel like it was just lump it forward and hope. It's still, we got the ball into wide areas. Yeah. Marshall was getting the ball out wide. And so we were still working it into the right. We was getting crosses into the box, winning corners.
Yeah.
That lifts the crowd. And that's what was getting the atmosphere going. So, yeah, was it ticky-tacker football? No. But I walked away from Priestfield yesterday thoroughly entertained by what I saw from that Gillingham team, regardless of whether it was ball on the floor, ball in the air at times. We did enough to win the game, didn't we? Ultimately, we did more than enough to win that game. And yeah, it's frustrating that obviously we went 2-0 up and we all said straight away, I think it was about 39 minutes or something, we scored the second one, and we just said, just get into half time.
Yeah.
Not thinking that by half time we'd have completely thrown it away. And what the frustrating thing was is that it wasn't even like there was a goal coming from, we didn't get that impression there was a like it looked like we was going to go and get three once we'd scored the second one. And there's also, you can, from a defensive point of view, you can pick holes in every goal you can see. But
the first goal was
for
excellent.
Me, I hold my hands up and say that first goal was an excellent move.
Yeah, it was.
You can watch it back and go, oh, someone doesn't track that runner, or there's too big a space there. But it was three or four one-touch passes. And if teams are going to put together moves like that, one-touch football is hard to keep up with. So we'll give them the credit for that one. It's the second one that I think is quite disappointing.
I think a few of us in round us had a difference in opinion. People thought that was Aimer's fault for the goal. I don't know what you thought.
I thought that they was allowed to work the space out wide too easily.
I thought it was Barry Fuller's fault.
I thought Fuller had another good game yesterday, as he does most of the time, but I thought that was the one moment where I think he got caught ball watching.
Yeah, he did.
And let the winger in behind him. So of course
you see the ball coming mile off.
He's then got a free pick out of someone, maybe, you know, the bloke that put the header in was...
Yeah.
And yeah, he was unmarked, but even if he was, there was probably every chance he would have towered above Aimer and Ogilvie and put it in anyway. So yeah, that was a disappointing goal to concede. And obviously then at half time we're thinking, here we go again, you know, we've taken the lead in every game this season, thrown it away, are we then going to go on and lose it? And you know, for the first 10-15 minutes of the second half we were second best, Blackpool were on top.
Yeah.
But we have to be realistic, in League One I don't think there's ever a game that goes by where you dominate for 90 minutes from first whistle to last.
Not in League One, no.
Every team will have a 10-15 minute spell against you. And to credit us, compared to the wobble we had just before half time, I thought we defended well in that period.
Yeah.
Rode it out, and then for the last half hour of the game, we managed to wrestle control back.
It's an absolute.
And
fan.
It was.
Have you seen where the ball gets rolled through to the Blackpool striker and it looks like he's actually put it wide?
Yeah, because I thought he'd put
Connor
it wide.
Connor Ogilvie's block. What a block. What a block. I'm sure we will talk about the other centre half last night.
Yeah, we'll come on to that situation in a bit. But no, that was one of the big positives for me last night, is that we had the setback of conceding the two goals.
Yeah.
Blackpool started the second half
didn't
well.
Fall, did we?
As you'd expect them to, you know, they're 2-0 down on 40 minutes and they're going into the half time bouncing off the walls because they've scored two goals to get the game level. Of course they're going to come out second half feeling confident with their tails up. And the positive thing for me is that we rode it out and then wrestled the initiative back ourselves. And for the last 25 minutes, it was an absolute onslaught. And like you say, I said it last night as well, that it's been a long, long time since I've seen us put a team under so much sustained pressure. And, you know, we've had balls flash across the face of the box. Mandrin's had a couple of chances from corners that just haven't quite dropped in, you know, one's hit the keeper on the line, and it was frustrating. But my overriding feeling from yesterday is that there's a lot more positives than negatives to take out of it, and if that's the level of performance we can sustain in home games, we'll definitely win more than we lose.
I think so.
In terms of individuals, let's start with the goal scorer first, Alex Kubiak. Yeah, three goals in three league games for someone that scored two in 38 last season. Yeah. It's not a bad start to life at Gills. I mean, we didn't go to Doncaster, but obviously he scored our goal in that game, and then we see him against Burton and Newport, and he wasn't the worst player on the field, but we didn't see an awful lot from him.
No.
But yesterday's performance, two excellent goals, wasn't it?
I thought he was outstanding yesterday. His footwork, he's interchanging with people. His hold-up play, his footwork for the second goal is phenomenal.
Yeah, to shift it out of his feet.
Yeah, it's a brilliant finish. Brilliant finish for the first goal. His second goal was my favourite, though. The way he kind of ducks and dives and sends the Blackpool defender like on the floor. I thought he was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. And we need to see him. We need to see him centrally, really. I don't want to see him wide. He's not a winger. You can tell by the way he plays that as soon as he moves central, he just looked at home and he looked naturally naturally better there. Yeah, I thought he was definitely his best game in a Jill shirt. Definitely.
Yeah, obviously his first goal was a really clever. You know, he's not trying to lash at it or smash it in. He picks his spot and just casually rolled it into the corner. But what I liked about the second goal, from not just from Yakubiak's point of view, but from the whole sort of team point of view, is that about 30 seconds earlier, List should have scored. Yeah. He was clean through and hit it straight at the goalkeeper. Right. But we kept the attack alive.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, like, oh, that's that chance gone. We kept it alive. We won the ball back high. They tried to play out and it might have been O'Keefe. Went in there and nicked it back.
Yeah.
And then that's it then. We win the ball back in the final third. And I think, is it List that plays the ball into Yakubiak? And then from there, his footwork's superb. And he gets a little bit lucky with a finish because it hits the keeper and sort of loops into the net. But it seems like we're having more shots at goal than we have done compared to last season. That's the thing. Another thing that I see people were pointing out today, looking at stats and saying, oh, our passing percentage or our pass complete accuracy is really, really low. But you can't read too much into pass completion rates, because take last season, for example, we would pass the ball 4 or 5 times across the back four and then hoof it long. So, all right, those 4 or 5 passes are successful passes, so the stats would claim. So that's racking up the percentage. So we might come out of games with an 80% pass completion rate, but that's because we've spent most of it knocking it across the back four and then sending one long. Whereas what we're trying to do now is, I think it's evident that we are trying to get the ball forwards quicker.
Yeah.
And that's not just by hoofing it. I think that's by trying to, instead of taking 3 or 4 touches on the ball, taking 1 or 2 instead. We're trying to get the ball forwards quicker, and we look more willing to risk that killer pass. Whereas last season, I think too often we looked afraid to try and play that final ball, fire that ball, have that little bit of creativity. Whereas now, it seems like we are trying to be a little bit more inventive, and that's the game. Because the passes that create chances and create goals are naturally the hardest ones to execute, which means more often than not, they will go wrong. But I'm looking at us at the moment saying, admittedly, we're not taking chances like we probably should, and that it comes down to the different argument of people wanting another striker. But I feel like we're definitely better on the eye to watch on yesterday's evidence, and I feel like we are creating more chances to score goals, because there was a lot of games last season where we sat there for 60 minutes thinking, have we even had a shot? Whereas you look at last night, we've had a number of good chances to score. I personally don't read too much into pass completion rates, because at the end of the day, someone could try 5 through balls, none could come off, and then play a 6th one, it creates a goal when you win 1-0. Or they could attempt 10 passes in the game sideways and complete all 10. Oh, they walk off with 100% passing accuracy but done nothing with it. I think that's a little bit skewed. Let's talk about another one of the forwards. Let's talk about Brandon Hanlon, because obviously he ended last season really, really well. Obviously the majority of the time playing up front with Tom Eaves, and sort of at the start of this season he's been spending a lot of time sort of a bit more isolated up there. How do you think he's finding that? Do you think he's struggling a little bit to be playing up front on his own?
I think he is slightly struggling. I think he needs someone there with him. Brandon has got raw pace and raw attributes. I think the boy is a real talent, but he's still very inexperienced. And I think that's what people have got to remember, that he's still only in his second year in the Football League.
Yep.
And I think asking him to lead the line as a lone forward in what people are tipping to be a top 6 side is a big ask. It's a massive ask. And when you're not He isn't the strongest. He's built out more than what he has done, but I don't think I think the word I'm looking for is that he's not that clever yet. he's not, he doesn't get his body in the way enough for me. He does it sometimes, but the time that you just want something to stick, he doesn't do it. I think the best way to get out, to get the best football out of Brandon Hannon, it's got to be that you're playing with Jakubiak or you're playing with Mandarin. You can't I think you can play by himself. I don't think you can play him wide because I don't think he's got the delivery to do it. But I think getting him in behind centre halves and in behind teams and hurting teams that way with a partner next to him, I think is the perfect way of doing it. I think at times when, going back to last year when it was him and Parker or him and Neves, I think he looks at home. I think he struggles on his own. I think he really does. I don't think he's experienced enough to play as a lone striker yet.
No, I'd agree with that sentiment. Let's move up to the other side of the pitch, because obviously as much as people have gone on banging the drum of, oh, we need a 20 goal a season striker and whatnot, you know, it is worth remembering we've scored in every game this season. But the flip side of that is we've conceded in every game, and in a couple of instances we've conceded really poor goals. And yeah, the centre back situation is an interesting one, because obviously much was made last time Max Aymer was captain. It seemed as if it affected his general performances.
Yeah.
Obviously Evans has come in and decided in his own mind that Max is the best candidate for the job again, and given him the armband.
Yeah.
And Max came out and said after, you know, that he felt he was more prepared to have it.
Yeah.
I'm still not sold on him with the armband, I've got to be honest. I don't think he had a fantastic game yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought Ogilvy was the better of the centre halves, and I don't know. There's just something still.
When everyone's fit, he shouldn't be in a team.
Well, this is the thing, because obviously
it shouldn't be in
we've
a
got
team.
You'd say
Ogilvy and Jones are the best pairing we've got.
You'd say we've got five centre backs. Obviously, we've got Aim, we've got Ogilvy, we've got Jones. Obviously, Jones is playing in midfield at the moment, but he isn't actually a centre back. We've still got Zakuani to come back, and we've got Tucker. If all fit, for me, Aymer is third, possibly, depending on how fit he is, possibly even fourth behind Zakuani.
Yeah.
Because Aymer had a good, well, I'm not going to say he had a great season last season, because I don't think any defender did apart from Fuller, really, because we conceded a lot of goals.
He had an okay year.
But when Aymer was playing at centre-half of Zakuani, he looked a lot more assured. And that was probably as a result of having a more senior and more experienced partner with him. But I think it's the situation that when he's then relied on as the number one centre-half,
yeah,
I think he struggles a little bit. Was he directly at fault for any of the goals yesterday? Depends what your class is directly, because I can't remember if it was the first one or second one, and it was one of them, but a ball guard comes up to him and it's a really poor header out that they then pick up the second ball and they end up scoring from. It's little things like that. You could possibly argue that maybe he should pick up the centre forward for the second goal, but like I said earlier, he's that big that he probably would have.
For the Ogilvy
anyway.
block in the second half, it gets carved out of him. He's ball watching and he just lets the Blackpool striker roll him.
I don't want to turn this into, oh, let's sit here for 10 minutes and bash Max Aymer.
Yeah.
Because I thought last season he was okay.
Yeah, he was okay.
But I don't know. I just feel like when he's has that added responsibility, especially of having the armband, I feel like something disappears. And I also look at it and think, sort of for 3 or 4 years now, we've been pretty poor at the back, and there's been one mainstay, and I'm in agreement with you.
You said it like, was it you that said it last night? That people sit here and say that that our midfield was the problem last year, which it was. But you look at three of the back four from last year started last night.
Three of the same back four as last season, and we conceded a stupid number of goals last season. So should we be that surprised that we're still struggling to keep goals out?
People can say Barry Fuller undoubtedly deserved player of the season. Undoubtedly deserved player of the season. But he can only do so much. He can only stop so much. Now, he's fought for one of the goals last night. I stick by that opinion. But he also then does things for the rest of the game that makes up for those little mistakes.
Yeah.
Without an experienced centre half next to him, Aimer's a poor footballer. Aimer's a poor footballer. I was shocked that Steve Evans gave him the armband. Shocked. Because he's got no leadership skills. He's got none at all. So I don't know why he gave him the armband. I never, ever, ever see him talking. Ever. And when he is talking, he's throwing his arms up in the air. So I think I will criticise Evans here. I think he made the wrong choice appointing Max Aimer as captain. Big time. I think there was better candidates.
Yeah, it's one of them. I do definitely think his performances dip when he's got that extra responsibility and we're relying on him as the main central defender. Obviously, the situation... I expect him to... Listen, I'm not saying he's going to get dropped anytime soon or whatnot, because realisation is that the other centre-backs, one's a kid, one's injured, and one's playing in midfield. And at the moment, with the performances he's putting in midfield, and obviously in Alfie Jones, you can't take him out of there because despite being played in an unnatural position, he still looks technically our most comfortable player on the ball, which speaks volumes about him. But it's an interesting one because obviously there's news come out today, and we'll probably come on to Old Acre in a bit, but obviously that Evans is willing to let Garmston leave as well. And everyone's going on about it to talk about another striker, and everyone wants two or three or four more players, whatever.
We need a left back.
I still think we need two defenders.
We need a left back. Two?
I still wouldn't be against another centre back.
No.
Right, so we've got Aimer and Ogilvie at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think realistically Tucker's going to play at all this season. Zakuani.
Won't see this side of Christmas.
No. And then when he does come back, it's a long injury at his age. Will he be the same? So the only other centre half we've got is playing anyway in midfield.
Yeah. It's a fair shout.
So there's the argument there that we could need another centre back.
It's a fair shout.
And a left back, 100. If Garmston leaves, 100% a left back has to come in. Because Fuller does a job out there. But I've always maintained that a left footed player should be playing at left back.
I agree.
And I stick by that because I think it gives you something going forward as well.
Yeah.
And you can't go the whole season without having a recognised left back.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. I don't think that will happen. The centre half.
Oh, the centre half?
Yeah.
You think we'll get a left
back? I think we'll get a left back in. I agree with what you're saying about the centre half. Totally agree with that. But yeah, I think we have to get a left back in. Have to. We can't. Fuller does what he does. He's Barry Fuller. He's been excellent out there, but we can't keep doing it. We can't keep. We're unbalanced.
And we also.
How many times does Fuller have to check back onto his right foot, and then by the time he's checked back onto his right foot, the other team have set themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does affect you.
We also have to be fair to Fuller as well that he probably shouldn't be playing 40, 45 games a season at his age. So there will come a time that his performances will start to dip.
Yeah.
And if that's mid-season and you've not got another left-back, then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, admittedly, I do think left-backs are generally probably the hardest position to recruit.
Yeah. Got to be one out
because we're a strange breed, us left-footers. but yeah, there'll be someone out there, even if it's alone. We need something out there. Because I do think the team lacks a little bit of balance at the moment, that we are very, very right-footed.
Yeah,
We are. And I think having a left-footed player in there might do us some good.
Surprised about Brad, though. I'm a little bit surprised.
Well, especially as when Evans first came in, he said he quite liked him.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. But I think Brad will get a league club.
Yeah,
definitely. I can't see him dropping into non-league. I think we said AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah,
could be another one of them. But no, because I see no reason why he couldn't be playing at the moment. Well, Evans has said he's injured, but I don't know if that's whether that's just a reason not to play him. But no, obviously to sort of clear up on yesterday. As much as it feels like sort of 2 points drops because we was 2-0 up in the game. Do you feel like there was a lot more good than bad to come out of what we saw yesterday?
Definitely. I've got my money's worth, mate.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? We want to be... And yeah. I tweeted it at the end that the reaction from the Rainer men at full-time
said it all.
You know, we was in a strong position in the game and we threw it away. Let's not beat around the bush. We threw it away.
Yeah.
The crowd could have gotten the teams back and the atmosphere could have turned a bit somber, but start of the second half, it was a little bit quiet because we was second best in the game. I get that. But then once we started to get back on top and we had that 3 or 4 corners in succession and the crowd got going and it was sustained pressure, the atmosphere lifted. And I think you could tell at the end of the game that everyone sat in or stood wherever in that ground acknowledged the fact that we'd given that
one. Shall I put it into context?
Well, go on.
That's the first time I've seen you on your feet at Priestville for about a year.
But no, that's the thing. I think everyone there watching acknowledged the fact that we'd given that absolutely. We'd left nothing out there last night.
We gave some of the players on the
everything
floor.
We had and did everything we possibly could to find that winner. Unfortunately, it just didn't quite fall for us.
No.
But if we, like I say, if that's the level of performance we can expect from home games, we are going to win more games than we lose.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But before we move on to the Coventry game, I put out on Twitter to see if anyone had any questions or whatnot that they want to ask us. And we've had a few, so let's go through those. Firstly, Lewis Hart says, in the last 4 games, most of the goals that we've conceded have come at the end of halves. What do you think this could be down to? This is, obviously it's a true point that every goal we've conceded in the league so far has been in the last 5 minutes of the first half. Is it coincidence or is it something that needs addressing? Because
inexperiencing game management.
That's what I think it could be, because some people could argue, is it fitness? My argument to that is no, it can't be fitness, because we wouldn't have finished the game like that yesterday if we were unfit.
Oh, there you go.
The fact that we were battering Blackpool for 20 minutes, who, let's not forget, a bit of perspective, Blackpool won 3 out of 3.
Yeah.
Coming into last night's game, and we should have beaten them. So that says to me that we're not unfit. I think you're right. I think it's just a little bit of game management. And once you've done it a couple of times,
starts.
Right, like we've scored the first goal and then conceded right on half time 2 or 3 times, it becomes a little bit of a mental thing.
Yeah, it does.
So once we've gone a couple of games without doing it, I think we'll knock that out and we'll be okay. Because that's the thing, that we defend okay for large parts of games, but such are the fine lines in League One level, that, well, any level that's professional, that it only takes a 5 minute bad period to cost you a game.
Yeah.
You know, for 85 minutes of that game, there's no complaints, we should win it.
Yeah.
But 5 minutes costs us it. And that's the thing, that you have to be switched on for the entirety. And I think, like you say, we're just... Maybe when we went 2-0 up yesterday, maybe we shouldn't have gone hunting for the third one. We should have just gone, right, for 5 minutes, I'm not saying for the rest of the game, we sit back.
Yeah.
But for 5 minutes...
Keep the ball.
Yeah. Recycle possession. And let's just not do anything silly.
Yeah.
And admittedly, like I say, you have to give Blackpool credit for the first goal. It was a good, really good move. But then for the second one, just make sure we sit 2 banks of 4 and don't let them play that ball in behind Fuller to work an opening. And we did. And it's a shame, but I'm sure we'll learn from it. Next up, Owen Stanley says that Alfie Jones will be playing Premier League next season without a doubt. How much of a coup do you think this signing is now that we've had a few games to see him?
He's an outstanding footballer. An outstanding footballer. Both footed, comfortably. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I can't find the fault in his game. Not yet anyway.
No.
That boy will play at the very top. Without a shadow of a doubt.
You can just tell that even as a, naturally a centre back, wherever he is on the field, just he's got so much more composure than anyone else on the field. Yeah. He never, a bit like, it's a bit like a League One version of what Liverpool fans will say about Van Dijk, is that he never looks stressed out or he never looks like he's having to make a last ditch attempt at anything.
No.
It always seems like he's got the composure to have every situation under control that he's put in.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, obviously we know that Southampton develop good players, they develop good young players, they've done it for a number of years now, and obviously he come here having been captain of their under 23 team, so we knew that he was going to have something about him. But no, the fact that he's not just come in and got himself into the team, but also come into central midfield and just
bossed
taken
it.
To it. Absolutely. Naturally
bossed it, yeah,
says an
he
awful lot
night.
About
bossed it last night
about him and the career that he's going to have in the game. And I do agree, maybe whether it's next season or not I don't know, but I do definitely agree with Owen's sentiment that he will play in the Premier League one day, without any shadow of a doubt. Next up from James Dobson, he says, now we've had a few games, who would you say has surprised or disappointed you so far? I suppose by surprise that can be good or bad.
I would say after last night, Jakubiak. I didn't like the look of him when I saw him against Burton. I thought, oh, this is a waste of time. But yeah, he surprised me last night.
Do you want one from me?
Huh?
That people will be surprised at. Anyone that knows me will not.
I know you're going to say it. Yeah.
Mark Byrne's been good so far.
Yeah, yes.
Mark Byrne has been very, very good so far. I'm not his biggest fan whatsoever. I thought last season, I thought he was awful.
Yeah.
But I don't know what Evans has said, whether Evans has changed his role slightly or whatever, or given him a bit more flexibility. Yeah. But he's playing well at the moment, and he's well worth his place in the team. Obviously, he's keeping Cissé out of the team at the moment, and that's justified for now. So he's one that I'd say surprised me.
I've been disappointed in O'Keefe.
Have you? Obviously, he's only played the two games so far, hasn't he?
I've been slightly disappointed.
I think he'll get there, O'Keefe, but I think at the moment it's sort of, he's doing something good and then doing something a little bit daft.
League One football through there, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you what I've been disappointed with, actually. Mark Marshall.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said that. Look.
Yeah. But we're playing him centrally. I don't get
that. Yeah, he came on centrally yesterday, which is strange. Because surely a player with pace like that, you want him exploiting the space out wide. But it seemed like there was a couple of times where he did get the ball in wide positions. And he didn't want to commit to go past the fullback, which is surprising. Because obviously he's come on as a substitute. So he should be fresher against tired legs. And he just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because, like Evan said before, he's not had a pre-season, so maybe he doesn't quite feel at his sharpest yet, and hopefully that will come in time. Because a fit and firing Mark Marshall will cause problems, without a doubt. What have we got? We've got two more. One from Mark Walder. He says, with all these players leaving, he says it's not a dig at Evans, but is this going to be a case of, if you're not in Evans signing, then you're going to be out the door, and it could backfire if things don't work out? My argument to that is, he's given one of the old players the captaincy.
Yeah. Mark Byrne's in there.
Obviously, Hanlon's
in there. Fuller's in there. Obviously, like you say, Aimer's in there. Ogilvie's one of the old boys.
So there's five from last season that are regulars in the team at the moment.
Yeah, but...
And obviously, this is what Steve Evans does. He does it everywhere he goes. He likes to make his mark on a club. And he likes to build a squad that he considers his own. And I understand why. And I don't object to him doing that, because I thought we was poor last season. And I thought the squad did need a shake-up.
The simple fact is, whether it is Steve Evans or not, every single manager, or every manager that comes into this football club, he's well within their rights to decide what players they do and don't want. Just because it's Steve Evans, everyone is kicking up a massive fuss going, you can't do that, you can't throw him out, we've got no squad, we've got six players on the bench, blah, blah, blah. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's won promotions at this level. He's managed in the Championship. Like, I'm not being funny, this man knows what he is doing. Like, and you can sit here and say, yeah, but like, he's done this to this club and done this to this club and failed at this club, blah, 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 whatever. But this man is a serious winner. He knows what he's doing. Whether people like it or not, he has every right to bring in or kick out whoever he wants.
this is
the, his squad.
This is the thing, because I'll bring you onto this topic quickly. We'll gloss over the Oldacre situation. First things first, I'm a little bit gutted to see DJ leave.
I'm a little bit.
I liked him. I think he did have a lot of potential. But why are we only kicking off about this now?
Yeah.
Because Oldacre was around the first team squad under Justin Edinburgh. He was around the first team squad under Adrian Pennock. He was around the first team squad under Steve Lovell. And now Evans has looked at him. Not one of those deemed him, whether it's good enough or having the right mindset, to put in the team every week.
Yeah.
It wasn't a problem when the other three were not picking him. And now Evans has decided to go. So people are moaning that the squad's too small. How else is he going to bring players in unless some leave?
Oh, dear.
Because people keep going on, we've not got money, we've got whatever budget, Scally won't spend money, in which case Evans can only work budget out of what he's got by moving players on.
Exactly.
So if he's got a player there that he knows isn't going to play, why keep him? And I've seen some silly comments, like someone on the forum going, you had to keep him because now what happens if O'Keefe and Cisse get injured? Absolutely ridiculous, because that's ruining a player's career. You can't say, right, Darren Oldacre, you're my sixth choice central midfielder. If it goes my way and no one gets injured, you're not going to play a game of football this season, but you've got to stay here just in case four of the midfielders get injured, then you might play two games and that's it. You can't do that to the kid.
No,
you can't. Like Evan says, players like him, players like Reese, players like Garmston, he's looked at them, decided they're not for me. No. So he's doing what's best for their career and letting them go and play somewhere else.
Yeah.
There's no point keeping players, and just for the sake of it, just to fill a number on the bench, because Evans has said, and he was asked about it last night, about the substitute situation, he said, I'll name six on the bench, because the PC thing to do is to name seven subs and put a kid on there. But he said it's given false hopes to the kid and his family that because he's on the bench he might get a game, whereas in Evans' own mind he's never got a chance of getting on that field.
Yeah.
And I've never thought about it like that before, and then you read that and you think, that's true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. He can only bring three subs on, so if he's got someone that he knows he's not going to use, whether he's on the bench or not, what's the point?
Yeah, I know.
What's the point?
Yeah, I know.
So I just think, like we said, you've criticised the Evans decision to make Aimer captain. I don't think he should be captain. We don't think he should be bringing Marshall on out wide. So we're not sitting here saying Steve Evans is perfect in every decision he makes.
He's not. No.
But it just seems like, it, to some people, every decision he does make is wrong for some reasons, which are just a little bit strange.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Because, well, to be fair, I suppose some people were moaning about us throwing away a 2-0 lead yesterday, which, let's be honest, Gillingham have thrown away 2-0 leads ever since I've been going. So that's new. And someone said, would we have even gone 2-0 up in a game under level last season? Yeah, so you've got that argument. So I just don't know. I still think there's a... we knew this would happen when Evans got appointed. There is very much a split of the Evans likers and the Evans haters, and it's going to stay that way, because there are, admittedly, there's been some that didn't like Evans at the start that have sort of come over to the backing him side a little bit, but there are some that no matter what happens will not have him.
Yeah.
And that's fine, people are entitled to their opinion, but it's just frustrating when it was like the Newport game. We wasn't good, but we wasn't awful.
No.
And then you look on the forums afterwards and it's like crisis time, and we didn't even lose the game.
No.
It was drawn.
Yeah.
Obviously, the pessimists will look at us this season and say, we've not won a game yet. Or the people with the glass half full will say, we've played four games and only lost once in 90 minutes. So it depends what side of the fence you want to sit on. What that says to me, the fact we've only lost one out of four, yeah, we've not won yet, which is frustrating and that needs to come soon. But we're competing.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not being battered.
No.
We are more than competing in every game that we're playing. So that's a big positive.
And we've had a tough start as well.
Yeah,
it isn't an easy start.
Evan said Burton went to Oxford and won 4-2 last night.
Yeah.
And you know, we played Blackpool, who were sitting top of the league. Doncaster, like Evans has rightly said, should have been in the playoff final last season.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've not had an easy start. So to only lose one of the first three league games isn't a disaster. Yes, admittedly, it would have been nice if we'd have held on to that 2-0 lead yesterday.
Did we not lose for like 2 months under one of our ex-managers and ended up near being relegated?
There's no point looking at the table really until sort of 8, 9, 10 games in, and then you get a rough idea. You know, if it's got to 8 games and we still haven't won, maybe I can see a little bit of panic. But what I saw last night was the win's not far away.
No, exactly.
The win is not far away. No. We're a couple of bodies away. I think we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I think I'm more convinced than you at the moment that these bodies are going to come in. You're still a little bit sceptical.
I'm not sure we're going to get them. I don't know.
But I said, we're going to get people in. I just don't know...
if it's going to be the right people.
Whether, how good a quality it's going to be.
Yeah.
We'll see, because obviously he's been saying for a while now that he wants a couple more, and there just seems to have been no movement.
I know.
Which is... or is that because he knows exactly who he wants and he's playing the long game to try and get him? It could be that.
He always pulls one out of a hat.
That's the thing, I've still got a feeling that he's going to pull something out. But we've got one more question. Where was it? It was from... there was another one. Actually, there's two more. My bad. Ollie Small asked, who do you think has been the standout player so far this season?
Alfie Jones.
I would agree with that, and I think most people would. I don't really know who else people might answer with. Bonham's been good.
Yeah, Bonham has been very good. Bonham's made a really good save last night.
Yes. And the last question is from Joe, and it's about Oldacre. He says, after leaving Jules this week, what's next for Darren Oldacre?
Oh, internal league and back up again.
That's what you think his route will be, yeah?
I think it will be. And I think it should be.
Yeah?
I think it should be. I think he has to prove. He has to prove himself. Yeah, he's, the boy's got talent.
He's not played a lot of football.
And the boy can play at this level without a shadow. But he has to put the work rate and desire with it.
Yeah.
And that's what he's missing from his game.
I think that's the route he'll take. I think he'll dip into sort of Conference Premier, Conference South. And I think he will end up back in the football. Providing he keeps his head in gear, which I think he will. I think he's not a silly boy. I think he'll end up back in the Football League at some point with someone. And yeah, good luck to DJ, because he's a good lad.
Yeah, he's a nice
player of the year.
Yeah,
he's a really good lad, and hopefully the move is. Some people say, and rightly so, maybe the move's good for him.
Yeah,
maybe it'll sort of give him that G up in his career that he might need. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on what he does, and hopefully the best for him. But that's enough on Tuesday's game. Like I say, Saturday we head up to the Midlands to play Coventry at St Andrews. Coventry, who yesterday were 3-1 down with 10 men and then 3-2 down with 9 men and then ended up coming away with a point away at Ipswich. Was it Ipswich?
Portsmouth,
even worse. I don't know how they've done that.
But
that obviously means they've got two suspensions for Saturday, which works in our favour. What do you think? Do you think this is a tough one for us?
Yeah, I think it is. I think Coventry are a good side. Showed last night that they're willing to battle for everything, even with nine men on the field. I think what does work in our favour is that they're not playing... They're not playing with their full home crowd.
No, they're not at home.
They're not at home, are they?
No.
And so, really, if we can, the current situation is what it is. If we go there and play and we put them under pressure, I could probably see them folding quite quickly, because they're not going to have that atmosphere that they could have had. And yeah, I think that could work in our favour. I think it's still going to be a real tough game, for sure. But if we perform like we did last night for 90 minutes instead of 85, we'll get a result.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think he'll change anything in the team, Evans? Or do you think he'll go with the same 11?
I think Lister will probably come out
for
Cisse.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
What, and he'll go Hannon and Yakubiak as a two and play a diamond?
I reckon so.
Okay.
Potentially.
Yeah?
Potentially.
But maybe even Willock could make a return.
Yeah, well, nice. No, I spoke to Willock last night. He is potentially back for next Saturday.
Oh, right, okay.
Potentially, but he didn't say what was wrong.
Okay, it's a shame because He'll give us, he'll add us something a little bit extra.
He will.
Mate, Willock, once he's fit and firing. I agree with your comments that if we can play like we did for the large part yesterday, we will go to St Andrews, and Lily said the Rico then. We'll go to St Andrews and we'll cause Coventry problems.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good time to play them, but it's only their second game at that ground. They've got two suspensions. So I think that's something we have to look at and go and try and take advantage of. But one question I will ask you, so obviously Evans has now served his four-game touchline ban. With the switching off late in halves and stuff, do you think it will now help that Evans is going to be... Well, I assume he's going to be on the touchline.
Well, he has the option, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think it could. I think it definitely could. Because they might well respond to Rayner, but Evans is the main guy, isn't he? He's the main man. And if he wants something to happen, that happens. And I wouldn't want to meet Steve Evans in a dark alley, for sure. I wouldn't want to meet Paul Rayner in a dark alley. I just think seeing kind of Evans on the touchline and giving him real motivation and jumping around, I think we'll get him even more motivated. Having the both of them there will up motivation even more and get them going. So I think it will make a difference.
Yeah, I don't think it would certainly do any harm. I think, I agree that I think it might give us that little bit extra. Prediction. Are we going to get that first win?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna back us?
Yeah, 2-1.
2-1. You've got to have the both teams scoring. That's the common theme in our game at the moment. Yeah, I think I've said 2-1 every game so far, so I'm going to stick with that, and eventually I'm going to be right. I was close yesterday. I'm gonna go with a 2-1 as well. I feel like we're going to win it in the second half.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Mandarin to score the winner off the bench.
Whoa.
He was unlucky not to score. Well, have you read the story today about how we got to the game yesterday?
Yeah, I did. In an Uber.
Yeah.
His
car got punctured on the way.
Two tyres.
Fair play to him. He got there.
He did.
And
made an impact.
He certainly had an impact when he came on. He's a handful. If you use him in the right way, he's a handful.
Yeah.
A real handful. He was unlucky not to score yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
Unlucky. Probably should have scored from the last corner. It looked like he had a free run at the ball, and I think it just sort of glanced off his shoulder. There's any sort of clear contact and he just scored. But no, generally some pretty positive stuff to take out of last night's game and into the weekend. Hopefully, Saturday will be the end of the wait for that first win, and we can celebrate 3 points and really kicking the season off. So until then, up the Jills.